The latest news and information brought to you by the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing. This is Nursing Notes Live. Nursing Notes Live is an audio extension of the national award-winning monthly e-digest, Nursing Notes, which highlights examples of nurses creating improved patient outcomes and transforming the new standard of care. You can subscribe to receive Nursing Notes updates at www.discovernursing.com. Each month's Nursing Notes content is accompanied by two episodes of Nursing Notes Live, which expands on the content and provides you greater insights into the topics presented in the written format. You can listen to previous episodes of Nursing Notes Live on our podcast player at discovernursing.com and subscribe to the podcast series on iTunes. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. In this episode of Nursing Notes Live, we have a panel discussion on school nursing for back-to-school season. Joining me on the show are Nina Fakaris and Barbara Parker. Nina is the president of the National Association of School Nurses, NASN, and has been a school nurse in the Beaverton School District in Oregon for 27 years. Barbara is the coordinator of health services in Oakland United School District in California. Check it out. Barbara and Nina, I want to welcome you to Nursing Notes Live. We're really excited to have you on the episode this week. And I'd like to lead off with, Barbara first, and just ask you to share a little bit about your background as a nurse and how you got into school nursing.
Good morning. I began my career as a nurse actually in the ICU, ICN unit at Children's Hospital Medical Center in Oakland. And at about a year into my nursing career, I received a call from a school nurse who had been my preceptor during my community health rotation. And she indicated she was moving out of state, and the school principal remembered my student nurse projects, which included puberty ed, nutrition ed, and working with families, and invited me to consider this opportunity to work as a school nurse. And so the head of the school nursing program called me in for an interview and hired me. I continued to work in the ICU and ICN unit for about another year, but as a credentialed school nurse, I had a range of assignments and opportunities to do various kind of projects, and that's what school nursing is about. And it included the clinical aspect of assessing students who have special health needs, acute and chronic health illnesses, providing case management, obviously caring for injuries, and it also included that health education piece that I so much enjoyed. And I've had multiple opportunities to work on collaboration teams and take a look at how we provide more cohesive services to families and students in particular. And so that was the beginning of my school nursing career. And I also had an opportunity to coordinate a special vision project with the Helen Keller Child Sight Vision Program out of the East Coast. And I served that for about 3 years. And in about 2007, I was encouraged to apply for the program manager position in school nursing, and I did. And in 2010, I was promoted to the coordinator position that I currently hold right now.
Excellent. Nina, how about you?
Well, I kind of started nursing similar to Barbara. You know, I got out of school and went straight to the ICU. I worked at the Veterans Administration Hospital in Kansas City, where I began my nursing career. Did a little bit of community health nursing. Had a child, and we moved to Oregon. And so after about 3 years of being out of nursing, I realized I needed to get back into it. And like many of us, I think, you know, there was a school nursing position open. I thought, oh, well, that'll be great because it actually fits well with my schedule. I'll have, you know, vacations off with my daughter. I won't have to worry about, you know, childcare or, you know, working 12-hour shifts anymore. So I really got into it mainly because of the schedule. It fit well in our family with us having small kids. From there, however, it just kind of became a passion of mine. seeing the impact and the effect that a school nurse can have in the life of a school building and for our kids. So that's kind of, I got into it because of the scheduling and have stayed for almost 30 years just because of the passion of what we're doing.
Excellent. So I think we talked a little bit before recording about the different models of care for school nursing, and I think this is a good time to interject that. So perhaps, Barbara, you could share a little bit about the model in your system where there is a nursing supervisor and a group of nurses working in the school district.
You know, there are so many different models of school nursing practice. But one of the things that is very clear is that they all adhere to the principles of school nursing, the guidelines that are recommended by the National Association of School Nursing. But in general, the different models are obviously related to the student population. So in very large school districts, you tend to see a school nurse supervisor. We have about 35,000 students in Oakland Unified School District, and currently we have 32 full-time positions for school nurses, about 5 LVNs and other support staff, and at least 2 program managers. And so our motto represents the enormity of the health issues that are in Oakland because it's such a diverse school district and such a large school district. When you have funding for that, it really helps to undergird the program that you're trying to roll out to support students and making sure that you have the appropriate nurse to student ratio, that there's equity in serving the students. It's not uncommon in smaller school districts and in other school districts, actually, that the nurses are supervised by unlicensed personnel. But the nurses, again, still adhere to the principles of school nursing. And the motto may be anything from a nurse assigned to a school in a large school district, an individual school, full-time, or at least 2 schools per nurse, and sometimes 3. And in smaller schools, there may be a team approach where, and I think that Nina can speak more specifically to that, where sometimes the team rolls out a certain protocol or process for supporting some things that are required by the state, such as screenings. So there's a team approach to screening the students. There's a team approach to providing special ed assessments, which is a requirement that we have to comply with, or writing healthcare plans or managing children, particularly with diabetes. In Oakland, we actually have all of the above. We have some of our nurses who are assigned to school sites full time, such as our large high schools where we have over 1,700 students. And at our smaller schools or schools that are not quite that size of the high school, a nurse might support 2 to 3 schools. And so she's there part time, 2 days a week. Maybe at one school and 3 days at another, and sometimes it's even split into 3 schools. But the general idea is that the nurse is providing the essential services and then working to do case management because we have so many students with chronic health conditions. The screenings, of course, and the special ed assessments and developing IHPs. And I'm using a lot of phrases that nurses are familiar with, but these are program and services that students are entitled to, particularly if they have a health condition or a special need.
Nina, how about your perspective on this? Your system's a little bit different.
Yeah, our system in Oregon is a little bit different, but let me give you just a quick national kind of picture. The National Association just recently has completed a workforce study that we did across the country. And generally, East Coast states provide 1 school nurse for every school building. South, our southern states are similar, only they will use more licensed practical nurses or licensed vocational nurses in those school nurse positions. And then out here in the West, oftentimes we don't. So in my school district, for example, We have about 40,000 students in our district, and we have 13 nurses to provide care for those 40,000 students. So we average about 3,000 to 4,000 students on our caseload. We'll have 3 to 4 buildings. We do a lot of staff training, so it's our staff that provide first aid, medication administration. We have fairly liberal delegation, nursing delegation laws here in Oregon, which allows the school nurse to delegate many tasks of nursing to unlicensed assistive personnel. And so we're almost more consultants. You know, we go from school to school, providing whatever staff training and information like that we need. You know, now we do serve on our special education teams, and so we sit for those meetings, making sure that children who are being evaluated for special ed services that they're not missing a medical component. We do team approaches to our vision and hearing screenings. You know, those kinds of activities. But I think our nursing models across the country vary. And so now what we're trying to do nationally is take a look at what impact, what outcomes does that have for our students? Because we really want to try to help design what's the most effective school nursing model that provides children and communities with the services that they need. So I just think it's different, interesting for your listeners to understand that depending on their community where they live, their school nurse model might be very different from what Barbara and I represent.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I'm here on the East Coast, and I'm used to having a school nurse in every school where my kids went, and we became very close to the school nurses because I had a daughter with special needs, and I got to know all the school nurses in all three schools that she attended very well. So that's interesting that you pointed out the different models, and I've always wondered about that. One of the things you mentioned, Nina, was the aspect of the importance of a school nurse to the community, and it seems that is something that people often miss. They think that it's all boo-boos and band-aids, but it's so much more than that, and really is a public health model as well.
Correct. Well, and, you know, really, if you look at, go back to public health nursing, you know, school nurses provide all three levels, primary, secondary, and tertiary, you know, public health nursing. We do population management, and that we're working with the entire school children population. We're oftentimes working with the families and in supporting family care and helping families adapt and cope with the issues that's impacting their child. You know, we provide that direct care for children and then the education and prevention pieces. You know, one of the things that we're looking at right now that's really key, I think, in what school nurses are dealing with when we look at community health at this point are just our mental health concerns. We have so much mental health fragility happening right now. You know, in December of 2015, the Every Student Succeeds Act was signed into law, and it replaced the No Child Left Behind. And one of the things that did was it allowed states to have a little more control over what's happening in their state education departments. But they're all looking at ways to comply with the standards that Every Student Succeed Act outlines. And attendance measures is one of the big things that they've identified. And what we know is when school nurses are involved in attendance teams in their buildings, they discover that most absences are either due to chronic or acute health conditions or a mental health condition. We're seeing so much increased anxiety, depression, fear among our students that really what I'd like to see school nurses focusing on now in our community health is really what's happening for the mental health of our children and of our community to help our children succeed. So, looking up that public health model, you're absolutely right. School nurses our practice is kind of founded in those public health principles.
Barbara, what are your thoughts? Because I know you're in a more urban environment in Oakland, and maybe you have a different outlook on that given your community.
I would actually concur with Nina. There are so many children presenting with mental health disorders and eating disorders and anxiety, depression, and aggression, so much so that nurses are very involved, very actively involved in studying and understanding trauma-informed care so that they can better support and respond to students who visit them. And these students may come in under the pretense of a physical ailment, but through motivational interviewing and good listening skills, the nurse is often able to unearth other issues that are underlying the physical problems or reasons that the student comes into the office for. And I would also add that, with today's medical advances, children are living and successfully, attending school with medical conditions that were considered as barriers years ago. And so we have a number of children with conditions such as tuberous sclerosis and spina bifida and Addison's disease and cystic fibrosis. And we're seeing more and more incidences of children with life-threatening conditions such as diabetes type 1, insulin dependent. We have approximately 60 students in our district who, before lunch, require a nurse to be involved to help administer insulin, to support them, whether they're on a pen or they're on a pump. And then there are some students that require more frequent checks than the noontime lunch. So you also have students with seizures, more severe cases of seizures, asthma, of course, and sickle cell and severe allergies. So all of these things are beginning to increase in record numbers in the school districts across the country, and nurses are responding to these needs successfully. But I think another piece of it is that and as Nina brought it out earlier, we really would like to see on the West Coast, one nurse assigned to one school or one school building, but it's often related to funding. And that's a big issue in school nursing today, funding school nursing services. But when you think about the complex health conditions that children live with and attend school daily and the need for nurses to provide case management to bridge this condition, supporting this condition between home and school, and even with the provider and the expertise that's required by a credentialed school nurse to manage these multiple layers of health, and the compliance issues, what the state requires school districts to do in terms of screenings and participating in the special ed teams, then we have to invest in more school nursing. We have to see funding appropriated so that all students are supported as you would see in your community. And so I would just add that, investing in students' health today really yields great dividends tomorrow.
Nina, as president of the NASN, you obviously have an opportunity to really provide a lot of support through that organization for the school nurses, whatever the model they may operate within. What are some of the things that the NASN is doing right now to offer that support and services?
Well, I think, on several fronts, our professional practice documents, which include our scope and standards for school nursing practice, really set the foundation for school nurse practice around the country. Barbara mentioned that earlier. It is through that framework of care that school nurses understand their scope and understand what's required of them, kind of no matter what state they work in. So we provide that foundational documents for them. We also provide current evidence-based education for our school nurses, primarily right now dealing around some of these chronic diseases and chronic disease management, also looking at increasing their abilities in dealing with mental health issues, the motivational interviewing, the positive behavioral supports that Barbara mentioned are all a part of some of our recent educational offerings. You know, one of the other things that we also look at is we provide a forum for school nurses to interact with one another. Oftentimes, school nursing is a pretty isolated job. You really are the only healthcare provider in your school building, and it really helps to be able to talk to other school nurses about issues and concerns, successes, I need support in this, so really to get that support from someone who understands. So we provide an online all-member forum. So if you are a member of the National Association, then you're automatically enrolled in this online forum. And so you're able to ask questions and advice of fellow school nurses across the country. And we're able to put you in touch with nurses in your state. Just recently, we had two new nurses who were brand new to school nursing beginning this school year. Both worked in private schools. One was in a Midwest state and one was in a southern state, and they were both seeking advice. What do I do first? What's the most important? Are there forms that I need to fill out? You know, and they were really looking for how to be a school nurse. So we were able to provide them some of that initial information and then also connect them with their state school nurse organization to say, you know, these are the people that understand the specific laws in your state, and so connect with them. So I think, you know, I think it's that connection piece that we need so oftentimes. And then, of course, nationally, we provide a lot of legislative advocacy. The national organization works tirelessly to try to pass federal legislation that supports school nursing practice, weigh in on other pieces of legislation. So those are all the, you know, kinds of things that the national organization is trying to do to support school nurses that are there on the ground every day.
Barbara, as we kind of wrap up here, we're down to our last question. What piece of advice would you offer to someone that's looking at becoming a school nurse, either a student nurse or maybe someone who's been out in the nursing workforce in another area?
So a student nurse, I would certainly encourage her or him to try to have a community health rotation in school nursing. We've hired nurses who have actually had their community rotation with the school district, and it gave them one leg up. They had the advantage of understanding some of the principles of school nursing so that at the time that they were hired, it wasn't something that they weren't familiar with at all. In addition, I would recommend student nurses as well as any nurse who is interested in school nursing to visit the website. I think Nina spoke to it very eloquently. There's a ton of resources on the NESN website. And if the nurse or student nurse navigates that system, they will see the breadth of support that is provided as far as they can go into the website that is supported to all school nurses across the country. They will understand the diversity of the models of care, and they will understand that we have a fabulous research section on NASN that's collecting this data that Nana spoke to earlier to take a look at how do we continue to advance the care for students in ways that are more effective and more efficient. So the website speaks to it, and I would also encourage individuals to interview nurses and perhaps nurse administrators to see to learn a little bit more about the hands-on work, and perhaps that will persuade them to take on school nursing. It's a really rewarding field career to follow, and I think that the website would speak to it tremendously. And interviewing school nurses and school nurse administrators, and also, again, as I said earlier, having an opportunity to, if you're still in school nursing, to have your community health rotation.
Excellent. And that website is nasn.org for everyone out there.
Yes.
Nina, last word for you. Anything else you'd like to add to the advice for nurses looking at becoming school nurses?
School nursing? Yeah. I think I see our primary role in school nursing as being advocates for children, right? We're the advocate for that child with a chronic health condition because in the school building, I'm the only health care provider. And so it's really up to me to make sure that the health needs of that child are being met so they can participate in all the school activities, just like the child sitting next to them in class that doesn't have that condition, right? So you have to be an advocate for kids. I think the other thing, school nurses need to have excellent communication skills because we're translating medical language and medical knowledge into kind of school and education language so that student needs are met at school. Because believe me, in those two different systems, the language they speak is different. So we have to understand and kind of be that bridge between medicine and education. And I also think it's important, you need to be confident in your skills and knowledge as a nurse because you are that lone provider in that building. And so to be able to speak up and have that voice of advocacy for your children, for your families, for your parents, to help them navigate the education system, you know, and educate and navigate between education and healthcare. I think that's, you know, those are some, for my mind, some of the essential qualities that school nurses need to have. We need to have those knowledge and skills and that communication and advocacy. But then, you know, when it comes down to it, we need to have heart. We really need to have the compassion to be able to put those actions into practice and really want to do what's best for our kids and make sure that all of our students have equal access to, you know, to their education and learning. So I think that would be my advice for nurses that are looking at possibly getting into school nursing. It's like you said, Jamie, it's not Band-Aids and ice packs. You know, we do a lot more than just kiss the boo-boos. So I think nurses need to be aware of that.
Stay tuned for more episodes here at Nursing Notes Live coming soon. And check out our other episode this month where I talk to Beth Lincoln. Beth is a family and women's health nurse practitioner in Northern California and is also the current president of the Transcultural Nursing Society. You'll find that and other episodes of Nursing Notes Live in the podcast area on iTunes, as well as our podcast player on discovernursing.com. Nursing Notes Live is produced for the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future by Medicast Productions. All rights reserved.